Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we're discussing Season 2, Episode 2 of Iron Fist, The City's Not for Burning.
All that right after this. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Let's do a full spoiler alert for Episode 2, Season 2 of Iron Fist. What do you think, Jeff Randall?
I'm thinking it's pretty good. We're off to a good start. All the pieces are in place. The board is set. And the villain is gathering the parts for their super weapon.
Right.
Yeah. That bowl that he wanted, that Davos wanted, looked a lot like the bowl that was used to mix up whatever stuff brought back Elektra.
Interesting. I did not catch that. That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's obvious that, you know, Davos being Steel Serpent in the comics is going to try to find some way to either steal Danny Rand's Iron Fist power or mimic it in some way.
Right.
And, I really want to see that. And the fight that they had in flashbacks where they're both in Iron Fist masks, tied together at the wrist, like, that was so cool.
So, is the Master related to Davos? Is that right?
Yeah, Li Kung the Thunderer is Davos' dad, apparently.
Okay, so, yeah, I didn't really recall that, or that we... I don't even know if we knew that from the first season, but... It... Not being negative, but I didn't understand what was going on exactly there. Like, why? I mean, I thought I remembered either from our comics discussions or from last season that was his father. And I guess that's why he wouldn't allow him to continue to take the beating, because he let Danny get beat up for a while, not yielding. Yep. And then Davos, Danny got the upper hand for a second. Like, he just, after it seemed like a while of being, you know, almost beaten and just refusing to yield, he flipped the tables on Davos for just a second, and his father was like, stop the fight. Yeah. I guess he was trying to protect his son.
Yeah.
Which maybe he saw, and that's the thing, like, I think I see in Danny that Danny probably wouldn't have refused to kill Davos. I don't know, at least that, like, that, I didn't get that sense from Danny. Like, I think Davos wasn't killing Danny deliberately. Like, he was kind of going easy on him once he had him in a down position, you know?
Yeah.
If he just continued to beat him, then he would have, you know, either killed him or had Danny yield, but he just kind of kept saying yield instead of, like, using his upper hand to beat Danny. And that's, so it's almost like Davos lost his destiny because he refused to kill his brother, basically, and then his father being overprotective stopped the fight. Like, that's pretty bummer for Davos.
Yeah. Yep. Poor Davos. Here we are again.
Do you think that Davos would have gone through with that sex? I don't.
No.
I think he would have killed her. He was ready to kill her. I don't know why he's listening to Joy so fervently. Like, is your code of honor more important than your purpose? Like, that's not the question here. It's like, do I use your tactic versus my own tactic, which, by his own moral code, I guess, I didn't know that they weren't supposed to have sex, or I guess sex for that purpose or whatever.
He just said that this tactic is distasteful.
Well, she said, but then she said, is your code of honor worth more than your purpose? So
I think his code of honor is to not use distasteful tactics.
Sure. Well, then if that's your code of honor, that's his morality. That's like, and I feel like Davos is like, the whole reason he's doing this is he's a bit of a zealot, you know? He believes the Iron Fist belongs with him, and he believes he's a better keeper of it because he's, like, morally pure, and he wouldn't do the things that Danny's done. He wouldn't be tempted by this world and all this stuff. And then to allow that, and not because of temptation, but because Joy says so. Like, he's not tempted by the sex or the this world. Like, that would have been more interesting. He's just told by Joy to do it, and he listens to her? I didn't get that.
Well, in the moment, I felt like I just watched a man get raped.
I did not feel like that. He's definitely a participant.
He didn't want it.
He didn't want it. He was coaxed into it. I agree. But then once he got to it, he seemed like he was pretty into it. He was into it in a kind of gross, violent way. choking her, and he seemed really into it once she climbed on him and he's like scratching her back, and he just seems to be like being consumed in the moment to me. But then again, that's kind of what this show does. It throws up things with multiple interpretations and then expects us to make them, and I don't know for sure his motivations completely. You know, maybe he was tempted by the flesh. Maybe that's why he made the decision, but that's not what it seemed like. It just seemed like he got into it after the fact, and I don't know.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
It's not for us to make the moral decisions for the character, and certainly not for us to decide what interpretations of the law are at play here.
I feel like it was him saying that, though. Like, I don't know. I just feel like he listened to Joy over his own moral code. It didn't feel like he was being tempted into it. It just felt like he was just listening to Joy. And maybe there's more reason for that than we realize. They did get into what we talked about last episode about how they were just there to protect those 15-year-olds. Colleen did actually say that out loud, which I liked this episode.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I could have used that in the first episode. I could have used
She got questioned about it. It's like, what, you're looking out for us now? And she's like, yes, yeah. Stupid. That is what I'm doing.
That was all my favorite stuff, was the Colleen Wing helping out kids that need help. Like, that's what the show should be. It should just be the Colleen Wing show, as far as I'm concerned. Like,
it kind of feels like a pilot for Daughters of the Dragon.
I would love that.
It's like a sub-pilot, almost.
Yeah, it's always felt that way. In last season, when she was doing all those cage fights, I was like, man, she's such an interesting and good character. And she's trying to help kids through the most logical means that she can. And even this season, she's like, this is my new purpose. It's like trying to stop these things before they start, trying to help help out in these situations, even though I can fight. It's not my first resort. I love all that stuff. I think it's great.
Yeah, and I like that they did that in this episode, too, with the whole, you know, like, we'll try to talk them out of having their open war in the city streets, but, you know, if it comes down to it, we'll stop them by force.
Right. I also don't love the idea that Danny's just like, I don't know. And I get it, and I think it's good, but he's like, let's let two criminal organizations share the docks. Like, is that really saving the city? Why aren't you trying to stop the crime? And I mean, I guess it's because it'll cause less violence, and he thinks that the two less violent gangs running the city, but that probably means a lot more drugs on the street. You know, it probably means a lot more, you know, theft, and it's not the best solution. Helping the criminals come to more efficient crime doesn't seem like the best solution.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say what is the best solution for, you know, all of the crime and all the violence on the streets.
I totally agree.
The main thing is that he's just trying to stop it now. Like, reduce it as much as possible now.
Right.
Like, any change that you make that doesn't affect the bottleneck is a useless change. So he's just trying to, you know, ease the transition.
Right. The kind of deal he just made with the two organizations is the kind of deal I needed Luke Cage to make at the end of season two.
Yes.
Before I would believe that he's like participating in crime. Like, but in Luke Cage, he did nothing to participate in crime, and they just started kind of treating him like a crime boss. And then in, or the show started treating him like a crime boss. And then in Iron Fist, he does a thing that is like helping the criminals come to peace, which is good, but also like come to peace to do more crime, which is bad, and they don't like treat it as a morally ambiguous decision at all. You know, it's just like they treat it like he just did a great thing. You know,
well, I feel like they just kind of have accepted, like, yep, gangs are going to be here, and we're just going to have to live with that. So let's make the best of it. And you know, if we can get them to not fight, then that's the best we got.
Right, and that's just not. To me, that's kind of not what heroes do. Like, and that's why, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe it is, and maybe like you become a Luke Cage type character at the end of the season, where you're like, you're a morally ambiguous thing now. But that's just not how the show treated it. The show didn't treat it like a devil's bargain to make more peace. It treated it like you solve the problem. Docks are cleaned up now. There'll be no violence. There'll just be lots of drugs and crime.
I think they allowed that in the show just to show, like, yay, Danny, you think that you did good, but really you just created more problems for yourself because now Davos is pissed and is going to just start murdering people with his little neck tap.
Right. And that's like an unrelated, unintended consequence of the problem. It's not like the show is saying, you
don't stop
that.
Crime because you're going to make it worse.
Yeah, that's not what the show is saying.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think this episode was pretty good. I like where a lot of the stuff is going. I'm cool with. I don't really love the way it happened, but that scene with Davos embracing the flesh, I felt like was happening. I think that was more of a solid, like, birth of a villain moment. I don't think it was very logical, but I think at least, like, I felt like he was, I don't know, he was letting himself use a tactic, but it kind of is showing him the world of the flesh and the temptation. Like, all those are interesting themes to pursue, but in the end, I didn't think it was very logical. But as a scene, I enjoyed it. One thing I found that I really disliked and I hadn't noticed in the previous episode as much, but they're trying to make the show funnier and piffier, like, and I don't think they're good at that yet.
they're trying to lighten it just a bit because it was so damn serious last season.
And I'm normally in support of that, and I still am in support of the impulse to do that. But some of the writing of, like, the banter and jokes is really strange. Like at one point, I don't know, that one of the worst conversations was when she's having that conversation in the charity organization with her boss or whatever, like, the guy who also works in the charity, and she's finding out about the gambling thing, and they're unrolling the whatever. That scene is, like, some of the worst dialogue I've ever heard. There's a moment where, what does she say? She says something like, it'll come out in the shuffle, and then they in unison say, and it's all shuffle. Like, that's not a phrase. And I get that you're trying to say, like, maybe that's a phrase among those two, or that you're showing that they have a relationship and, like, they're friends, and maybe that's a phrase they use about the organization. But, like, it'll all come out in the shuffle is not a common enough phrase to, like, build this weird unison talk over. Like, they just did a bunch of things to try to make it snappier and piffier, and I'm like, you're not writing logical, like, dialogue. Like, some of the dialogue is so bad. I don't know. It's like the jokes aren't landing. I don't know. I just don't think the jokes are landing. But I am interested in the story. I'm interested in Davos. I felt like there were other more interesting ways that fight could have gone. Like, as I was watching that fight of them in the temple or whatever, like, I was like, oh, maybe this is going to happen. And that's, like, at one point I thought I thought they were going to do this, and this would have been, like, maybe worse for the show, but I thought they were going to do it because it seemed to make sense. You know, Davos finds Danny on the rocks after facing Xiao Lao.
Yeah.
Or whatever. In season one. And it seemed like he was very surprised to find Danny there. And he was very surprised to find the tattoo on his chest and everything. That's how I remember anyway. It was like, and I never, and so when they're having this fight, I was thinking, why was he so surprised? And why was he so like taken aback?
What if Danny was won?
Yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen. Because he keeps talking about his birthright. He took the weapon, and Davos is supposed to get the weapon and all this stuff.
Without my father's help, you would never have gotten it.
Yeah. I don't remember that line. Is that in season one, or is that...
That was from episode one of season two.
Okay. I feel like maybe they changed a little bit the...
retconning it a little bit,
because Davos finds him, he's all surprised, and like, maybe he's just surprised that he won, but it seems like the guy, Davos and the guys with him are like surprised to find Danny even there, and it seems like if he wins the battle, of course he's going to go down there and face Xiao Lao, you know. So that was kind of weird. But anyway, in that battle sequence, I thought they were going to let Davos win, and then like, Danny was going to go against the roles and like go do the fight the dragon anyway.
Well, see, that's the thing. Davos did that in the comics. Like, whenever, because like Davos is older than Danny in the comics. Steel Serpent came about during the time when Danny's dad was in Kunlun. And Dan, if I recall correctly, Danny's dad beat Davos, but then Davos is like, nah, to hell with the rules, I'm gonna go fight the dragon, and so he shows up at the door and then just gets terrified and runs away.
Hmm.
So, that's not on, like, unjustified ground, that theory that you had.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. So, it's happened before, is what I'm trying to say.
Gotcha. Anyway, so any other thoughts on this episode before we dive into episode three?
I'm looking forward to it. It feels a lot better than the first season, and the fight scenes already are so much better.
I do think the fight scenes have been better. That is true. I kind of hated the very first one, the first episode. We didn't talk about it, but it just didn't feel very... Like, the fight scene in this episode, which was cut throughout, was a really fun, martial artsy, badass fight scene.
Yeah.
The one where you take down the trucks or whatever, I was like, it did not feel good. It didn't feel like a good fight scene. There were just multiple things where I was like, why? I don't know. You're trying to... It was just trying to be too cool, and I just don't think it's pulling off what some of the things it's going for. Also, Ward this episode, another one of the dialogue scenes that really bothered me. Ward talking to his secretary. I know, yeah. Ward is a little crazy and all over the place as it is, but he was all over the place emotionally in that scene. Like, and that was kind of the point, but I think they did it to the point that it was like, makes him seem really strange as a character. Like, I don't know who Ward is now. Like, Ward is...
Ward, well, he's a broken man. He was a broken man at the end of the last season.
Well, no, that's the thing. He's the broken man at the beginning of last season, and he's gone through all this change. And it'd be interesting to say, like, he's kind of good, and he's working with Danny now, and he's not so weird and dark. Now he's got his father out of his life. And that's kind of what they're going with, but I don't know. He's just acting angry, then friendly, then being real mean to his secretary, and then not. And that whole scene was weird. I think Ward has been weird this season so far. But that's neither here nor there. We'll see. Maybe it'll all make sense where they're going with all these characters.
Yeah, it'll all come out in the shuffle.
And it's all the shuffle.
this place is all shuffle.
Oh, yeah. That was real weird. Real weird.
I think the Mary scenes are a bit off-putting. Like, they make me uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, a little bit. She's interesting so far because I don't know anything about her, and I feel like maybe she's going to be an interesting character. So far this show has not given me the faith. I don't have faith in them to make her an interesting character, and I want her to be. I want it to be interesting and good, and I want her to have. So, but I'm also a little confused. So she met Danny.
Yeah.
Which one's leaving the notes for which one?
That's a good question.
The one she met, the one who met Danny, I thought was the one who came in and found the notes in the first one and then folded them up real strange. I thought that was the case.
That's a good question.
I feel like we're kind of supposed to know that, though. Like, the way they... But then...
I kind of feel like we're not supposed to know that because she's got dissociative personality disorder.
Right, but we're... I feel like the folding of the note was a specific action that seemed like it would be a tick of one of the two personalities. But if I'm remembering it correctly, I think one of the personalities did it in one episode and one in a different episode. And it seemed like, because if you're going to have split personalities, that folding of the letter seemed like a almost aggressive act toward the other one. Like, I don't care what you think.
Yeah. I'm just going to fold up your words in a nice little square.
And it seems like... So stupid. So stupid. But if we're going to have one doing that little foldy fold, like, I feel like the other one... That should denote which one that is. And if I'm not mistaken... But then when she, like, changes... She starts maniacally laughing in that other, in the tub. Like, I don't know which one is which. And if you're going to introduce two characters in the same body, I kind of need to know when one is which, because you're trying to build both characters separately. Because you have to build two separate characters within that same body. And I gotta know who's who. And we know one is real friendly and an artist and all this stuff. And I'm assuming the other is in some way the opposite of that. That's a little bit of an assumption because you got this, the like Jekyll Hyde trope. But the one that's like folding, one is being controlling of the other by telling them what to do. I don't know which is doing which things at this point.
You want me to completely throw a wrench in it?
Yeah.
Okay. In the comics, she has three personalities.
Okay, well, that's even worse. Yeah. I don't know what's happening. That's fine. That's great. Have three personalities, but I kind of got to know what character... If you're going to build a character, especially three characters in one body, you got to tell me which character is which and, like, give me something to know if through acting or through... And maybe that's it. Maybe, like, the maniacally laughing in the tub was a different one than the aggressive folder than the... one that's leaving these notes. Maybe there's one we haven't even seen yet. Like, I just don't know.
Yep.
All right. I give up on this episode.
I'm sorry.
No. I actually like this episode better. I really like all the Colleen Wing stuff. She's doing things to help people, which is nice. Danny's doing morally questionable things that he doesn't understand are morally questionable. Davos is doing things that don't make any sense. Ward is acting like a madman. And Joy is the mustache-twirling villain of all mustache-twirling villains. She's trying to convince people to, like, go against their own moral codes and religions and, like, do what she thinks they should do for her own gains, which her own gains are trying to hurt her brother and best friend who she cared about fairly recently. This show's all over the place right now. Not very happy with it. Having fun casting about it, though. How about you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too. Thanks, guys, for listening to this podcast. We will get into episode 3 tomorrow. We are the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. Hit us up at mcucast.com, at mcucast on Twitter, facebook.com/mcucast, mcucast@gmail.com, or call us and leave a voicemail at 573-CAST-MCU. If you would like to support the podcast and get these episodes a little quicker and without ads, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/mcucast. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. We love you.
Until next time, true believers.